just keeps getting crazier in 2018. That's all ahead. I'm Vince Colonnaise with Mary Walter.
Speaking of crazy, just crazy, it's our favorite Cal Thomas joining us. Hey, Cal, Happy New Year.
Hey, guys. Greetings from Dublin, Ireland, where I'm sitting on the top of a building having a late breakfast here and
of course
looking
are.
Out of the view.
Of
now
course.
That I've mentioned this, I can write it off on my income tax.
Yes. This guy. Have you ever talked to us from not a beautiful place? Like, what's going on in your life?
Well, yeah, no. I mean, there's a lot of beauty in the world. You can embrace ugliness or you can embrace beauty. You know all about that, Vince, with your co-host.
Yeah, that's right. I picked beauty. You're right.
Good answer. Good answer, Vince.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Cal, let's talk about some retirements. We've got Senator Orrin Hatch, the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, announcing that he's going to retire. And also Bill Shuster, the chair of the House Transportation Committee, also saying that he is not going to seek re-election. What's going on with all these Republicans saying out?
Well, Republicans tend to go home and have a real life. I know some of these guys, the two you mentioned, have been there a long time, but it's harder to get Democrats retired unless they're caught in some kind of scandal like Al Franken, because politics is all they know. I've always liked Orrin Hatch. I've known him for years. He's a very low-key conservative. He's not bombastic. He doesn't look for a lot of opportunities to be on TV. And he also writes hymns, church hymns. He's a Mormon. And some of them are pretty good, and he actually performs them. I think he's a man of great integrity. Now, the speculation right now, of course, is whether Mitt Romney is going to step up and run for the Senate, or after being a presidential candidate, whether he would regard that as a step down. But I think if Romney did run, and if he did win, I think he'd be a real thorn in the side of President Trump, given some of the things he said about him.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what does that do? Now, the president probably, I would assume, if it's going to be, Mitt Romney versus a Democrat, the president's going to come out and probably endorse Mitt Romney, speak well of him, because you want a Republican in the seat. You want that to happen, and it's Utah, so that's most likely to happen. But what does that do to the president's agenda? Do you think that Mitt Romney will get on board and get in line?
Well, you may remember the scene during the transition period after the election when Romney went to meet with the then president-elect, I think, in one of his places in Bedminster, New Jersey. And they came out, the rumor was that he might be appointed Secretary of State. And they were all buddy-buddy and saying nice things about each other. I think sometimes, you have to put the animosities and old things behind you for the sake of the country. And I think Romney's that kind of guy. He really does love the country. He appreciates the opportunity that the country has given him to become a wealthy man. He's got a great family, no scandal associated with him, unless you want to talk about the dog on top of the station wagon, if anybody remembers that. But he's a good man. And I think, I think if Trump will reach out to him and, do some reconciliation, be a little humble, which would be a new character quality for him. I think that, that could work out all right. But the Republicans can't afford any mistakes now with the new Alabama Democrat senator coming in. They've only got a 51-49 majority, and some of those Republicans, of course, are not conservative. And I think it's going to be very difficult, whether it's infrastructure or immigration reform, building the wall, all of these other things. This is going to require Republican unity, and that will require leadership by the president.
Yeah, the dog on the roof thing would have been a bigger deal if it wasn't for the fact that his opponent Obama ate a dog. That was a problem then. The other thing about this Romney thing is, look, Romney clearly has shown a capacity for forgiveness and for reconciliation, because the guy got just ransacked by Trump during the campaign, and then he came and, as you said, he came and he sat down and he entertained the notion of becoming Secretary of State for Donald Trump. So these guys could actually get together in the end, despite all of the various nasty things they've said about one another.
I think you've touched on something important there, Vince. Like Orrin Hatch, Mitt Romney comes from a strong religious faith, and reconciliation and forgiveness are strong tenets of those beliefs. So I think that he has that kind of power, and it is a power. I mean, when you forgive someone, even if you're the wrong person, if you seek reconciliation, that is something that can break down a lot of walls between people. Now, the president's not known for having even a weak religious background, but I think that, Romney has the capacity and the personality, and certainly a similar experience in business, which ought to be attractive to the president, given both of them their business backgrounds. I think there's some possibilities there. We'll have to see. We don't even know if he's going to run yet. That's the first thing.
Yeah, well, he changed his Twitter location to Utah, so I think that means he's running.
But well, that is a good point.
Whatever. I want to ask you about something else, which is there was an article that recently published about Steve Bannon, the former chief strategist for President Trump, in which there are a bunch of quotes attributed to him suggesting that he would run for president in 2020 should President Trump be forced out or leave of his own accord, I guess, and that he called him something like an 11-year-old at one point. What do you make of all of this, these quotes that are supposedly attributed to Bannon?
Well, you never know if they're accurate or not, but I'll just address the quotes, whether they are or not. I think, a friend of mine wrote a book a number of years ago about his experience in the White House. He was a lower-level aide in the Nixon administration, and he had a line in the book that was so good. He talked about the addictive quality of the smell of the white paint, meaning the white paint in the White House. And I think once you get in there, I mean, if you don't know who you are when you go in there, you get filled with all kind of a sense of power. I think if Steve Bannon thinks that he could even run for and win a single electoral vote for president, I think he's in delusion and needs to seek counseling immediately.
Cal, just want to get this in here very quickly. You have a very interesting piece about tenderness as we go into the new year. We talked about what Tucker said we had to remember in the new year. Very quickly, why is tenderness so important?
Well, it's disarming, number one. I played off a song back in the, I think, 30s, Try a Little Tenderness. And, humility, tenderness, kindness are wonderful character traits that we almost never see in our politics today. They have a power of their own, which is more powerful than the other stuff that we're seeing on display every day in Washington. And I'm just suggesting if there were one or two people, a Republican and a Democrat, who actually portrayed that they actually like each other and love the country even more, this could have an interesting effect and spread like the flu virus that's now decapitating the country.
A little less arrogance, a little more tenderness. I love that message. 2018, baby.
Yeah,
thank you very much,
Cal
Thomas. Enjoy Ireland.
See you back in Washington. Bye.
640.